Tokyo.
You gotta worry, I'm doing an interview.
MHR Radio for Wednesday, May 7th, 2008. Our initial broadcast here on ubroadcast.com, Sports Channel 100. I am the sports guru. Coming up live tonight, what better way to kick off our initial show here on ubroadcast than to welcome new Broncos cornerback Jack Williams to the show. He'll be joining me next here on MHR Radio. It starts in 3, 2, 1.
Come on.
It's time for MHR Radio Live from TPSRadio.net. Stick around for the next hour while the sports guru brings you hard-hitting talk on the Denver Broncos. You already know of the number one Broncos fan site on the web. Now, MileHighReport.com comes at you with a fully interactive chat room and video. Right here on TPS Radio, it's MHR Radio right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the sports guru.
MHR Radio, episode 36. I appreciate everybody taking the time to join me here on ubroadcast.com. Again, we're over on the sports channel, brand new sports channel on UBroadcast, TPS Radio, as you all knew it and loved it. No more. We are on UBroadcast. Just as in any change, there's going to be some growing pains, but this whole setup is going to be a lot better, a lot more things we're going to be able to do as we head into the future. So just stick with us that, but I don't want to waste any time on the phone with me, joining me, former Kent State Golden Flash, and even better, current Denver Bronco defensive back, Jack Williams. Jack, thanks for joining me. How nice is that to hear that you're an actual member of the Denver Broncos, a player in the National Football League?
Every time I hear it, it just makes me smile, man. It's a dream come true. I'm a professional athlete.
And that's, you know, the thing, you know, you guys start out, it's, you know, so young, and it's, it, you know, whenever, I'm sure that the minute you played football the first time, it becomes a dream. Take me back to draft day. You know, you last day two, the fourth round. What went through your mind when you got the phone call? And we'll talk about specifically the Broncos in a second, but just getting the phone call, you know, most of us will never, ever get that phone call. What is that phone call like, and how was it, you know, were you with family, friends? How did that go, the whole, when you found out you were drafted?
Well, I was actually in my roommate's room just watching the draft with a couple of my friends. Well, I had a house full of friends, but, like, I kind of wanted to be isolated away from that just because I got the phone call. I didn't want a lot of noise. And then, I don't know, like, at first I thought I was going to be a Brown. Like, the Browns were making a lot of moves, and I know they were really interested in me. So, like, I thought the Browns were going to call me, and then they just kept picking different positions. So, I was kind of happy about that. And then the Broncos came up, and then, actually the Texans were still up, and then I got a call. And it was the Broncos, and my heart just dropped, and I just, like, just... tears just started running down my face. I can't remember who it was that called me. I want to say the GM that called me.
Okay.
And my tears just were running down my face as he was talking to me. He asked me if I wanted to be a Denver Bronco, and I said, I'd love to. And then they just started passing the phone off to all the coaches, Shanahan and the D coordinator and everybody else that was in the room that day.
I mean, what does Coach Shanahan say? I mean, does he say, "Hey, are you ready to get to work"? What does he say? You know, does he say, "Hi, I'm Mike Shanahan. Nice to meet you"? I mean, what does he say to you on that phone call?
Yeah, he was just like, "This is Coach Shanahan. We're glad to have you." And he said that we were surprised that you were still here. I guess they thought that I wouldn't even be around at that point. And he was just finally really excited to have made that pick. So that made me feel good that, you know, they really believe in me and they took a chance on me. So
now we were talking before the show started, and I, you know, just for my own curiosity, asked you, you know, if the Broncos had shown interest before the draft at the combine. you know, and you answered that, but for the sake of the listeners, what, you know, what contact did you have with the Broncos prior to the draft?
Actually, the only contact that I had was at the combine. Like, it was a funny story. I was in another hotel, and I was on the elevator, and one of the assistant DB coaches seen me, and he seen my name tag, and he said, "You're Jack Williams?" And I was like, "Yeah, yes, sir." And he was like, "We've been looking for you everywhere." And I was like, "Who?" And he was like, he introduced himself. I can't remember his name now, but he said that he was with the Denver Broncos, and then he bring me to Coach Schmellick. And then that's how that went down. And, you know, he was just talking to me and said, he told me that I reminded him of the late Grant Williams. And just him saying that right there, you know, was a compliment in itself. And he said that he really loved me to be on the team. And he said that he didn't know how the whole draft thing was going to work out because it's a crazy day. And this is way back at the combine, so he, you know, he had no idea what was going to happen, and neither did I at the time. So, I mean, it's crazy just to, you know, have that story, and then it all connects to the team that I'm currently on. So.
You know, and it's funny you mentioned that because I was watching some tape, some highlights of you, and that's the first thing I thought. And, you know, I'm by all means no football genius, but, you know, obviously watching Darrent Williams during his short career as a Bronco, that's the, you know, in size, stature, the ball hawking skills, which I want to talk about a little bit. You know, I mean, would that be a fair comparison? You know, and I guess any comparison to, you know, to something, you know, someone that had something like that happen to him is unfair. But just from a football standpoint, is that a fair comparison, you know, that you would make, you and Darrent Williams?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we both have similar styles in the way we play football, you know, and I think it's definitely a fair, you know, comparison. You know, we smaller corner, and, you know, I always look up to all the smaller corners before I got to, you know, before I got drafted. I always, you know, watched all the small corners to see who I played most like, and he was definitely one of them corners that I saw myself as.
You mentioned the size, and it's obviously something that comes up. There's such a stereotype with every position, you know, how big a quarterback should be, how big a linebacker. Obviously, corner is the same thing, and that's, again, been the knock. I've seen some, you know, quote-unquote small guys, and I wouldn't call you small by any stretch, but small guys make, you know, do pretty well for themselves, including a guy by the name of Bob Sanders, who was the Defensive Player of the Year last year, so he's done all right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Dre Bly is another guy on the Broncos who's considered a smallish corner. How do you make up for that stereotype, and what do you see? Yeah, you may not be 6'2", 6'3", but what do you bring that, you know, helps you adjust to guys? You know, for instance, a guy you're going to line up against in practice, a Brandon Marshall. I mean, what do you bring to the field that helps you adjust, you know, when you got guys that are that much physically bigger?
With me, I think, you know, being the smaller corner, you got to be a lot better in other areas of your game. You know, you gotta try to master all the other things, you know, especially technique. I think that's something that a lot of people don't, you know, work as hard on because they're more athletically gifted. But, you know, I think you gotta try to be a little quicker than the next man. You gotta have better hands. You gotta be better in all the other areas, you know, besides height. I mean, that's something you really can't control, but you can always control, you know, how fast you are and how quick you are and how you react and things of that nature.
What are your?
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. What are your strengths as a football player? What, you know, when you look and you say, you know, this is what, you know, if a coach asks you, hey, you know, Jack, what will you bring to this team on the field? What do you think are the things, you know, what I do? I know I'm good at this. Is it, you know, are you more of a zone guy? Are you a cover corner? Is it, you know, just flying around to the ball and getting to the, you know, wherever the ball's at? What do you consider your strengths when you look at yourself?
I think I take a little bit of all that. You know, I think I'm I can cover well, you know, I can tackle well, and, you know, I like to get to the ball and make plays. But I think what, like, separates me, I think, is just, like, just my swagger and my confidence, you know. Like, when somebody looks across the field and sees me, like, oh, this guy's short. But what they fail to realize is I'm so confident, and there's nothing that you can tell me you're going to do to me that's going to really affect me. Like, I don't know, it's just my confidence, I'd say, it separates me from other people and other corners.
What about a weakness? And you know what? That's always an interesting question when I ask it of a professional athlete, because I believe wholeheartedly that to get to that level, the confidence is so high that you almost feel you're indestructible and unbeatable. And you know, at a corner, you know, you're going to get beat. I mean, it's just like a pitcher, you know, a guy's going to blow a save. You know, a corner's going to get beat. You know, there's a lot of things that go into that. What if you said, if there was one thing you felt, you know what, I know I got to work on this, what would that be?
I think my man-to-man technique, and I think if you can master that, then everything else is, you know, just falls into place, because that's probably the hardest thing to do at the corners, is to play just the bump and run and play man-to-man and just latch on to a receiver and just harass them all the way downfield.
Do you prefer to hang back, or do you prefer to get up in a guy's grill and stuff him at the line? What's your prefer, and what would you rather do? Obviously, the scheme has a lot to do with that, but would you rather get up in a guy's face, or would you rather, you know, lay back and then react to what he's going to do?
I don't really have a favorite. I like to mix it up, because, you know, keeping receivers off balance. You know, some receivers would rather you press, you know, or some of them would rather you play off. I like to mix it up just kind of the mess with them a little bit.
Have the Broncos talked to you about what kind of role you're going to have initially? Obviously, you know, and I want to ask, you know, and I'll ask this question at the same time. I mean, how awesome it must be to go to practice, go to work every day with Champ Bailey, you know, at one side, and Dre Bly, you know, another, you know, above average solid corner. You know, so but have the Broncos talked to you initially what your role might be? I mean, are they looking at you at special teams? Have you returned kicks or punts in the past, or is it more of just a guy that's going to go on special teams, maybe as a gunner and fly around? I mean, what have the Broncos said, if anything? I know it's early on and they haven't even had a mini camp yet, but I mean, what do you foresee your role day one of training camp being for this football team?
I mean, I see myself just going out there and putting myself in position in any position that they want me to play. Like, I know special teams is definitely going to be a key factor. Yeah, I return kicks. So I definitely plan on doing that, but it's getting involved in all the other special teams as well, you know, like punt team and, you know, kickoff cover team, you know, and return game as well. But, you know, I'm definitely trying to get on the field as far as a corner too. So
sure.
You know, I'm going to try to be that nickel back that they had, you know, that they use, and try to learn my plays and just go out there and make plays and show them that I can do it and do it early and do it well. So
and
I'm planning on doing that.
And how cool is it to know you're going to go to work with, you know, the best, or, you know, one of the best, you know, a guy that, you know, came into the league and has pretty much been a dominant corner since day one? How cool is it to know you're going to go to work with Champ Bailey every day?
You know, it really hasn't even hit me yet. You know, I just talking about it, like, you know, I joke around with friends and all that. You know, it's going to be me and Champ. So, you know, I joke around, but, like, it hasn't really hit me yet that I'm going to be really learning from the best and somebody that I've looked up to, you know, growing up. And it really hasn't hit me yet, but once I get there, where, you know, I'm going to be right around him. Every step he takes, I'm going to be watching every move he makes. You know, I'm just trying to learn, and I'm going to ask him questions until he gets tired of me, because I'm trying to learn and I'm trying to be the best, you know, one day just like him. So,
how, you know, should we tell Champ he better start watching his back? You know, you're coming for his job.
I wasn't saying coming for a spot, but, you know, I'm definitely trying to learn and, you know, get to the level, you know, that he is, all pro status and future Hall of Famer type, you know.
It's well known in Broncos fan circles anyway, you know, that, you know, there's been some issues off the field. There's been some character issues. There's been some, you know, drafts that, you know, some of us would like to forget. So just it seems this year and even last year, the Broncos have made a definite, you know, put a focus on drafting high character guys, guys that are good in the locker room, guys that are good off the field. What, when you look at that and being one of those guys, when they say they're kind of trying to move that direction, you know, as far as off the field, as far as, you know, a guy in the locker room, what can you bring? I mean, I read in Kent, you were, yeah, I believe it was one of the, I can't remember the term now, but a guy that would help the underclassmen, you know, get to class, get into the weight room, you know, do the right thing in school and make sure they kept their nose clean. I mean, are you a natural leader? Is that the type of football player you are? You go in and you lead?
Yes, sir. I mean, I've always been like that in any sport that I've ever played. You know, I was I just kind of just took the lead, you know. It was always kind of in me that I just wanted to be the leader, you know. You got to learn how to follow before you lead, and I did that too. But you know, I just feel like I'm a natural leader, and as far as like getting people to class and doing that kind of thing, you know, yeah, I definitely try to get people to go to class and did my best to do so, because you can't play unless you're eligible, and you can't get better unless you're in the weight room or practice or workouts, that kind of thing. So yeah, I definitely pride myself in doing that.
Well, Jack, we got about 110 days or so until Monday Night Football. You know, the Raiders, of course, the big rivalry. We're looking forward to that. I appreciate the time greatly. You know, I know you're very busy. It's only been a couple weeks, and there's a lot going on for you. Hopefully, as we get closer to training camp, we can get you back and maybe even get a feel for what it's like being a rookie, you know, in the National Football League, getting razzed and all that. But I definitely appreciate the time. Best of luck to you. We're excited. I'm excited being an Akron guy to have you. I know what you can do. The Darrent Williams comparisons are almost scary to me, you know, even listening to you talk, the confidence. So we can't wait to see you in orange and blue, and the best of luck to you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate having me on.
That's Jack Williams. He is the new defensive back, a new defensive back for the Denver Broncos, drafted in the fourth round. Definitely appreciate the time. And I'll tell you what, and we're going to take a quick break so I can just get my thoughts together. He sounds a lot like Darrent Williams. I mean, just the confidence level. I mean, the feeling that, I'm going to come in there and no one's going to beat me. And he's got Darrent, for all, there were faults on the football field. There's no doubt about that. But he was a ball hawk. He always seemed to get to the ball. I mean, the Charger game, the Raider game, pick sixes. And I'll tell you what, it is weird. I think M. Dirk just said it in the chat room. It's just a weird, to say that. But it is. And you look at him stature-wise, just a big man, a strong guy. And I'm not all about size as far, 5'9", he's undersized. Football players are football players. We've talked about that in the past. And Jack Williams is a football player, and I wanted to get him on because I know a lot of people, kind of looked cross-eyed when that pick was made and were not upset that it was Jack Williams, but that it wasn't Red Bryant or, I think Pat Sims was still available. But I'll tell you what, guys, I mean, the teams that want it, from who I've talked to in the league, teams wanted this guy. This guy is a playmaker, a guy that gets to the football, and he is going to make the Denver Broncos better. And for that, I am excited. And you hear him, in the locker room, off the field, this guy is not going to be a problem. He's not going to be a guy that speaks out or creates waves or does any of those things. And to me, that's even more exciting. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to MHR Radio here on U Broadcast Channel 100. I'm the Sports Guru. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
You're watching and listening to MHR Radio Live on TPSradio.net. While you're listening to the show, be sure to check out the home of MHR Radio, www.milehighreport.com, or write to the show, milehighreport@gmail.com. More of MHR Radio with the Sports Guru coming up.
Shut up!
MHR Radio here on U Broadcast Sports Channel 100, a little Pearl Jam for Stig, who is a big Pearl Jam fan, and you'll be hearing a lot of that music. That's one of the nice things about U Broadcast, is I can actually play real music. It is so much better. BC Funk says the music is so much better, and it is. And I'll tell you what, it's exciting. This move is exciting for me. There are hiccups. I will admit that. What I would recommend to everybody is subscribe to the podcast. The podcast is still the same. If you go to feeds.feedburner.com/MHR_radio, you'll get to be able to subscribe and have the whole show in its entirety sent right to you, or however you get your feeds. iTunes as well. If you do a search, you'll find it. So just in case, you know, some of the audio skips and some of those things, they're working on this day and night. It's a new thing. It's a call it a beta, for lack of a better term. But again, a lot of the things, an embedded player is coming, and just a lot of things on its way. So I appreciate you guys hanging with me. Again, thanks to Jack Williams, cornerback, Denver Broncos, for joining me. I mean, I could have talked to him for an hour, and I wanted to get him out of here. I don't want to take advantage of the time, but I definitely thank him, and I want to get him. We're going to get him back on. I think I'm going to, touch base with his people, get him back on, maybe make it something of a regular segment. That would be great. I've welcomed him to come on over to Mile High Report and to join in there, and told him about. And I'll say, I will say this. I wanted to mention this to you guys. On the air, to the contributors and to everything, that his agent was very, very impressed with the website. He was very impressed with the fan interaction on the website, very impressed with the positive message that's on the website. And I say that because it's because of you guys that I get interviews like this. If we were a bunch of, if we were just bitching the whole time about the Broncos and this sucks and that sucks and why'd they draft that guy and he sucks and everything, if that's what we were doing, I wouldn't be able to get interviews like this, because I have no problem. Yeah, Raider fans. Thank you, Funk. If we were Raider fans, I wouldn't get this interview. I wouldn't have gotten it, because agents are not going to put their representatives on with a guy who they foresee is negative towards the team or their client. They just wouldn't do it. And so, of course, when I sent, when I reached out to Jax and his people as well, the same thing with Carlton Powell. I mean, that's going to be an email interview, but it's the same thing. They are not going to put their clients in vulnerable situations with guys that are going to take advantage of the situation. And so that's all you guys. I mean, I could be as positive as I want to be. And day one, I said Mile High Report was going to be a positive site for Broncos fans. I was not going to tolerate just negativity to be negative. And again, I started that site right in the middle of Cutler v. Plummer. It was at the height of people drawing sides, and taking sides in the Cutler-Plummer debate, where if you were on one side or the other side disliked you. I mean, a lot of you were in the message boards at that time, and a lot of you came over at that time because you were sick of it. You were sick of 30 threads on the front page that all said the same thing: why Jake Cutler should start or why Jake Plummer should start. So I always try and take a few moments in this show, since it's my direct voice to you, whether it's live, to the people that are listening, or via the podcast, which I know a lot of people subscribe to. I get emails all the time that to say thank you again, because this is what's helping us grow and become more and more of a factor in the quote-unquote mainstream. They don't want to talk to the Denver Post. They don't want to talk to the Rocky Mountain News. They're negative. They spew negativity. They're going to tell you everything Jack Williams can't do and tell you why he won't be able to do this and why he can't do that. I'm going to tell you what Jumpin' Jack Flash can do. And we're going to focus on his strengths and what he's going to bring to the Denver Broncos. And they don't know Jack. And I'm telling you, I'm going to root for this guy, not because he came on the show, but he's a Mac guy. I'm a Mac guy. And I'm going to root for him. I root for Jason Taylor. I root for Josh Cribbs. And I wanted to ask him about that. You look at the guys, the football players that have come out of Kent State. And Kent State, it by no means is a football powerhouse in the Mid-American Conference. But you look at the players right now in the National Football League from Kent State: Antonio Gates, James Harrison, starting linebacker for the Steelers, Josh Cribbs, who might be the second best return guy in all of football behind Devin Hester. But the thing with Cribbs, he also returned, you know, in some ways I think he might be a little bit better. I mean, he doesn't get any of the notoriety, but I'll tell you what, you look at his stats last year, he was just as sharp, I mean, as Hester was. Returning kicks, I mean, the Steeler game, he had like 400 yards of total offense as far as kicks and punts. But, I mean, they get some players out of Kent State somehow, some way. And so the bloodlines there, quote-unquote, are good. And Jack Williams loves to play football, and that's what we needed on this football team. We've been talking about it for months on this show and on the site, that it's time for the Broncos to get back to getting football players, guys that want to get dirty, guys that want to play special teams, that want to go tackle return men, that want to do all the dirty little things that teams need to do to be successful. And I think Jack Williams will do that. No doubt about it in my mind. I want to give a shout-out to everybody in the chat room tonight. Tony O, Unknown, Mysterious, D.O., BC Funk, Celtic Rob, the wife is in the house. Everybody say hello to the wife. Stig M. Dirk. How's Stig? Is on a little trip. How's your trip going, man? M. Dirk Mopat. Mopat 24, sorry. First fan. The scariest avatar on Mile High Report. No doubt about it. Check out First Fan's avatar. I'll tell you what, man. That's awesome. I love it. Zappa, of course, not bringing up the rear because these guys aren't listed in alphabetical order. I am the show host, and Weasel is in the chat room. So glad everybody came out. Wanted to talk about the other bit of news that floated around Bronco country, and that's Jay Cutler having diabetes. And I'm going to leave out and not ignore, but I don't want to look at this from a health standpoint. I don't want to look at this from, you know, being concerned about his physical well-being. I'm going to just go with the assumption that he's going to take care of himself. He's a professional athlete in great shape. There are ways you can control this condition, and I'm going to assume all those things happen. So we won't talk about the off the field. I want to focus on the on field, and I want to tell you why I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. It's not that I'm pessimistic, but I don't hold this optimism. I don't look at, oh, well, now we know why he was so X in 2007. And Stig says, exhausted, why he looked a step behind. And while it definitely had something to do with it, I mean, his blood sugar levels were probably all over the map. You know, he lost 30-some-odd pounds from the beginning of training camp through the season. But the direction I want to go with it is this. If it's something that's on his mind, and this is what I don't know. I don't know, and if someone is a diabetic or knows a diabetic, please help me. I am not speaking of this with any position of authority. I'm speaking of this as a concerned fan that doesn't just believe what I'm spoon-fed by the mainstream media. So when they all say, well, he's going to be great now because he'll be on medication and his blood sugar levels will be correct, so he's going to be excellent. Well, what about this? If he is thinking about that, instead of being 100% focused on the football game, to me that's a negative, and that might be a problem. And here's why. I mean, all these guys in the National Football League, all professional athletes are they're awesome athletes. I mean, that's just a given. We all know that. What makes the great ones that much better is they process the information faster. They're all great athletes. The biggest scrub on, guy number 53 on every NFL roster was the star of his high school football team or the basketball team. He was a stud. I mean, think of the best players that you went to school with. Maybe some of them it was you. But think of in your county or in your conference or whatever. And did any of those guys go on to play professionally? Maybe some did. You may have known some minor league baseball players. Maybe one of you knows a guy that's made it. And I'm cool with that. But the point is, I mean, everybody in the National Football League is top-notch, a numero uno, awesome athlete, top 0.01% of what they do. What makes the best, and I won't even go all-time greats or Hall of Famers or anything like that. I'm just looking at the best right now. You know, what we hope Jay Cutler will become. You know, just one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League playing right now. We'll start there. They process information. They see the game, depending on how you want to look at it, faster or slower than the other guys. So some people say the game slows down. Everything slows down. I feel like, you know, 5 seconds feels like 10. And so however you want to look at it, and input your own definition. But I think you know what I'm trying to say. And if his mind, if some part of his mind is focused on something else, at the quarterback position, that is a concern to me. Now, we've all seen athletes that have had diabetes. And Adam Morrison, I can remember in the NCAA tournament a few years ago, you know, going to the sidelines in the second half, taking out a syringe and jamming it in his leg. I mean, shooting up right on the sidelines. Jason Johnson, who is a pitcher for the Cleveland Indians, actually wore a monitor on his belt while he was pitching in games. He'd have this little thing. It almost looked like he was mic'd. It looked like the referee microphone little thing that they flip a switch on. But that was his blood. That's what he was monitoring. And, you know, and I saw the list, and if anybody could find it, I mean, I think Wade Wilson was the big name quarterback that played with diabetes. And I'm sorry, if that's what's supposed to make me feel better, if Wade Wilson is the comparison that I'm given, that I'm supposed to feel better about Jay Cutler's situation, then maybe I'm missing the boat. Maybe I'm not getting it. Someone help me there. Because I looked at those names and I went, I'm hoping Jay Cutler is a lot better than all these guys. I mean, am I the only one thinking that? I mean, yeah, the sample is small. But you think of all the great players in the National Football League or any sport. Any sport. There'd be one great guy that just had it, and there isn't. And that's not – I'm talking out loud with you like I would talk in a bar or if we were sitting on my couch and we were just BSing. I'm giving you my concerns. And Unknown says he did. He played pretty well without any treatment. You're exactly right. But he also didn't know what was wrong. Now he's got something that he needs to think about and deal with. And he's got the best doctors in the world. I know all these things. And again, I'm not saying it's going to be a problem, but I'm not going to just accept, every interception he threw last year was because his blood sugar level was below whatever the safe level is. I mean, I'm not going to just write it off like that. I mean, just similarly, I'm not going to say anytime he throws an interception this year, whoa, did they give him his insulin shot? I mean, I'm sure some a-hole analyst on CBS, the first time Jay Cutler throws a bad pass, will talk about his insulin. Peter, yeah, exactly. Peter King, Dr. Z. No, I'm talking some guy in the booth. You know, give me some, not the good ones. Well, Tony Kornheiser, lock it. Whoever does the Monday night game against the Raiders, lock it. Maybe he didn't take his shot before the game. Maybe he should have a Snickers. I mean, I'm ready for that. And I'm not going to Collinsworth will say it. Yeah, all those guys, the NBC halftime show, Collinsworth, I think, is he in the – yeah, he's in the studio. Collinsworth, Bettis, Peter King, Bob Costas, they'll all come up with – you know, the insulin jokes. But no, and so I'm not going to do that either, and that's not where I'm going. I'm not looking for excuses. I'm just saying playing quarterback in the National Football League is the hardest job in sports, period, when you're 100% healthy and everything is going your way. This is something he's going to have to deal with, learn to deal with, figure out. It's an adjustment. We all know that. But again, he's got all the support in the world. I'm not worried about it from a lifestyle standpoint. And that's why I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about in a game I mean, remember this, and this is a lot different because it's life or death. But Terrell Davis forgot to take his migraine medication before Super Bowl 32 and missed the second quarter because of it. So even with lifestyle and the oopses happen. I mean, he had a migraine in the Super Bowl because he forgot to take his medication. Now, I hope this does help Jay Cutler. And I'm not using it as an excuse for why certain things happened last year, nor will I use it as an excuse why certain things happen in the future. He's a hell of a football player. He's going into his third full season, his second full season as the starter, and this is the year that I think it's fair to look for a progression in his play. I think it's fair to say that the team needs to progress and Jay Cutler needs to progress. I mean, he's got some weapons around him. I expect the special teams to be better this year, which will help the offense, which will help the defense. Yeah, are there question marks at punter and kicker? Yeah. But who? It doesn't matter how great your kicker or punter is if nobody can tackle anybody. I mean, it's great. You're punting the ball to the 2-yard line, guys running back 98 yards. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's where the team starts and where you start with the football. And the Broncos were damn near dead last in opponent's starting field position, and they were dead last in their own starting field position. And what does that equal? 7-9 out of the playoffs, garbage. That's what that equals. You can't continue to put a good defense in bad situations, let alone a bad defense or a susceptible defense. But I want to, I you know what? Sport, are you talking? Oh, STO, they are. Dio's talking about Sports Time Ohio, which is the station, the regional sports network that covers the Indians. And Matt Underwood is about as bad as it gets. He is awful, you know, as far as calling a baseball game, which is hilarious because Tom Hamilton, who is the radio voice of the Indians, is among the best in baseball, in any sport. I mean, he's just awesome. And just a little shout-out to Dio mentioning Sports Time Ohio. But now, you know, we've gotten over the draft, and I'll admit it. If there is a slow period in the National Football League, this is it. Traffic-wise, traffic goes down. News is slow to come, especially with the Broncos because they don't hold their mini camp right after the draft. Several teams do. I mean, a lot of teams, San Francisco, the 49ers held their mini camps. Several other teams held their mini camps last weekend. Several more will hold theirs this weekend. The Broncos wait. They wait until, and somebody has the date, June. So, especially in Bronco land, news is slow. Now, not in the MHR. We'll be going strong, and we will be. I mean, between the MHR universities, you know, playing around with 2.0, which is, I think you guys have gotten the hang of that rather quickly. Just everything going on. This show, which I will continue to strive for the best guests. And if there's someone, you know, hey, you might have a contact with or you know, want me to try and get, let me know. We'll try and get them. I'm not afraid of talking to anybody. I mean, I'll go after, you know, I'll go right to the top of the food chain if I can find a way to get a hold of them. But so, you know, definitely it is a slower news time. But, you know, nothing we can't, you know, get through together, and MHR will be hopping. Sean Alexander. I wanted to talk about Sean Alexander. It was reported, of course, by Adam Schefter that the Broncos might be interested. Now, I'll tell you what. The guy I wanted, if they were going to bring in a running back, the guy I wanted was Dominic Rhodes. I thought Dominic Rhodes was a perfect fit for what the Broncos do. Again, as a backup, you know, something, you know, not the guy that's going to carry the ball 35 times, but a backup. He's returned kicks. He knows how to block as far as he knows coverages and blocking schemes from the running back position. And he barely played last year. Here's a guy that basically took the year off for all intents and purposes. You know, he was suspended for 4 games, came back, and the Raiders didn't play him. Then he played when Justin Fargas got hurt, I think the last 2 games, and you know, 4.5 yard per carry average, and I mean, basically, it didn't do anything. I mean, so he's fresh. I really thought that would be an intriguing signing. It doesn't surprise me he went back to the Colts. So I was expecting that. Me and Big Blue Shoe talked about that at length. That, you know, and that was the place for him. That's home. So I get that. But I just thought he'd be an interesting fit. Sean Alexander, you know, Captain Tippy Toes, is not a guy I would like on the Denver Broncos. And when I saw, we talked about this when he got cut. And, oh, what about John? No, don't want Sean Alexander. And then, of course, Schefter has to tie his name to the Broncos. And, you know, I'm sorry. One, the guy's going to want too much scratch. And the Broncos are out of that game, I hope. I hope they're out of that game where they throw money at a big-name guy with no talent. I mean, that's what I'm hoping. And they seem to be. The Broncos have not gone that direction this year. They have not gone after the big-name splash, throwing a lot of money after a guy that's totally living and surviving off his name recognition. Sean Taylor has been irrelevant in the National Football League for the past 2 seasons, and that might as well be 10 seasons in the NFL. I mean, to be 2 years ago when he broke, I believe it was 2 years ago. Yeah, it was 2 years ago when he broke the touchdown record, only held it for a year, then LT, you know, I think he broke the touchdown record just against the Broncos. I think he scored 30 touchdowns against the Broncos in 2006. But, I mean, Sean Alexander, I mean, that's forever ago. I mean, that guy is long gone. Between the foot injuries and just the wear and tear, he can't find the sideline fast enough now. And if he can't get to the sideline, he pretty much just kind of falls on the hash mark, trips over the yard line, looks at his shoe, kind of, what happened back there? That is not a guy. That was 2 Maddens ago. Oh, my goodness. But it's just not a guy. I think our running back depth is fine. I would just think if we could upgrade the position with a guy that can also return picks and say, you know, thanks but no thanks to Andre Hall or a guy like that, I would do it. Because I'm sorry, I don't think you're going to have enough guys that can return kicks. We found out what it's like when you have nobody to return kicks, so maybe I'm a bit, you know, scared of being in that situation again. Yeah, first fan, the layer, the technology center of my MHR radio. You know, I know you guys miss that. And I, you know, in honor of the Chicago White Sox, I had the blow up doll ready to go. I had it ready to go tonight. And then, you know, no camera action. So I apologize. Selvin, you know, here's the thing with Selvin Young. I like Selvin Young a lot. I liked him out of Texas. I liked him, you know, when he came, you know, when the Broncos picked him up as an undrafted free agent. But I agree 100% with Mike Shanahan. This is not a guy you're going to give the rock to 30 times. And he's not a guy that's going to do anything for you inside the 10-yard line. I'm sorry, he's not. And that's what drove me crazy last year. Before Travis Henry got hurt, before we knew about the whole drug test thing, is how many, when Travis Henry was leading the league in rushing after, you know, the first 2 weeks, I remember the friggin' Jacksonville game where the Broncos drove all the way down the field and then they brought in Selvin Young inside the 5, I think, and gave him the ball 2 or 3 times in a row and he got nothing. I think they went for it on 4th down and he got stuffed. And again, I'm not about all size, but there are guys that run tough inside the tackles. There are guys that do that. They're just very good at it. Mike Anderson wasn't a huge guy. It's not size. It's can you run hard and tough in the tackles, inside the tackles. And Selvin Young cannot. I mean, Terrell Davis, I mean, and that's the thing about, you know, you look at Terrell Davis, not a big guy, 6 foot, you know, 220, 205 really when he came in the league, but he ran hard. How many times did first contact bring down Terrell Davis? That's not a size thing. That's just the type of football player you are. Now, Selvin Young has had some injury problems, and I think that's the kind of guy he is. He's not a big guy, but he's also not he's not a durable guy, quote unquote. But he is a change of pace back, and you see this kind of wave in the NFL where they like to get these I don't know what you want to call it, these turbo backfields, where they get a bunch of quick guys on the field at the same time. Because remember, the point of an NFL offense is to create mismatches on defense. I mean, take the Raiders, for example. And I cannot wait to see the Raiders have the ball for the first time to see the formation they line up in. Because they have Justin Fargus, and they have Darren McFadden now, Javon Walker, Ronald Curry. And I want to see how they line up, because they can create mismatches. Because, and think about it, and I would love to have a Hoosier teacher here, you know, or anybody else that, you know. But think about this. If you see Justin Fargus and Darren McFadden on the field at the same time, what defense are you going to go into? Do you go nickel? I mean, I'll go one step further. It's on the right side of the formation, Javon Walker, Ronald Curry, and the tight end. Kid from Arizona State. In the backfield, you've got Jamarcus Russell in the shotgun with Justin Fargus next to him. On the left, Darren McFadden lined up wide. Okay, so where do your corners go? Do your corners go with the receivers? Do you put Champ and Dre Bly over the receivers? Okay, you go nickel. Do you bring in Dominic Foxworth or Jack Williams and put him over on the other side and Darren McFadden? Well, if you do that, and I'm the Raiders. Now, again, the Raiders aren't this smart, so don't tell them. But if you do that, then what does Jamarcus Russell do? What do you tell Jamarcus Russell? No, guys, if I'm Jamarcus Russell and I come up to the line of scrimmage and I'm looking at a nickel defense with that formation, I'm checking to the run and handing Justin Fargus the ball, because now I've got more guys to block than you have defending, because you've just lined up, you've just gone nickel, and I've spread you out. So now I've got more guys block. I pull Robert Gallery, you know, go, you know, a G strong, guard pulling strong, and I'm going to check. I'm going to check to the run. And remember what the Broncos weren't able to do, and it's going to put a lot of pressure on defensive line. So that's just one example, and there's a lot of ways they can go with that. There's a lot of ways, but in that formation, there are more guys. You can't bring a safety up. I mean, are you going to let, you know, Darren McFadden, 4-2-2-9, he's going to run two routes. He's going to run a slant and a fly. Are you going to let Darren have your nickelback go one-on-one with McFadden? I mean, yeah, Champ can handle Walker. We know that. We think Dre Bly can handle Curry. So, I mean, those are the mismatches that teams are trying to create with this turbo backfield or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I think it's 100. I was figuring it out today. Let's figure it out together. There's 24 days left in May, and then you've got 30 in June, 31 in July, and 31 in August. So that right there is 92. And then I believe, it's September 7th? So it's 99 and 24, 123 days until opening day. And then knock about 40 of those days off, so about 82 days until training camp starts. Quick rundown. Uh-oh, the boss is in the house. UB Ray. What's going on, Ray? Nice to see you joining us. You missed Jack Williams, Broncos' fourth-round draft pick. Now, Ray, you're a Raider fan, correct? I think Ray's a Raider fan, to be fair. To be, you know, full disclosure, I think Ray is a Raiders fan. But that's okay. Us Bronco fans are all-inclusive, and we welcome Raider fans to MHR Radio tonight. But something... something definitely to keep an eye on, you know, week one. That is the matchup the Raiders should try and use week one. Will they be smart enough? I mean, Lane Kiffin's a smart guy, but it's who's calling that offense. Is it Kiffin or is it Al Davis? I mean, the word came out that Kiffin, and I said this before, Kiffin did not want, you know, Darren McFadden. And I at some point when we do our AFC West roundtable, which we do, and in case there are some of you that weren't listening to the show a year ago in its first iteration, you know, on Blog Talk and now live, and you know, I do an AFC West roundtable. And I'm going to have a blogger from the Raiders, a blogger from the Chiefs, Chris from Arrowhead Pride. I'll have a San Diego Chargers blogger on. And we'll just kind of talk, you know, AFC West. And I'm going to ask them point blank. I mean, was McFadden the right way to go? Because, you know, someone mentioned Oak Faux Show, resident troll on Mile High Report, mentioned him. And, you know, his all he talked about 2 months ago, before he got banned from MHR 1.0, was Michael Bush. And Michael Bush, he's the stud. This dude's going to rip it up. He's healthy. We love him. Great player. We got Fargus. We got Bush. We got Javon Walker. We're going to score 1,000 points in a season. I mean, he's talking all this jibber-jabber. And then they go and draft Darren McFadden. Why? If Michael Bush, and remember, that guy would have been a top 15 pick. And, go ahead in the chat room and let Ray know some of the issues we're having. I mean, we still have intermittent just audio loss, but again, these are, I think, bugs that'll get worked out. Just intermittent, you know, every, you know, couple of minutes. So they'll let you know, Ray. They're pretty vocal in this room. But I went to the draft, as you guys know, I was in New York, and I said they are not going to draft McFadden. They are not going, especially when Dorsey fell in their lap. And we talked about this last week, but it still shocks me. It still shocks me that they had who I believe was the best player in the draft. Offense, defense, special teams, doesn't matter. Sitting in their lap with Warren Sapp having retired, and they passed him up. And again, as someone mentioned multiple times on the site and on the show, they passed him up and let him go to a division rival. And, you know, Funk, you mentioned speed kills. Speed kills, you know, and you got to have the football. Darren McFadden's not doing anything without the football. And there's one football, and we know firsthand what Javon Walker wants. So let's just look at the Raiders situation here right now. And maybe we'll do that. Each week I'm going to break down an AFC West opponent. And I do it objectively. The Raiders are going to be a better football team. There's so much talent. How many top five picks do you make before you start getting better? It's like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the 80s. You know, first overall pick like 18 times, and they sucked for 20 years. But you look at the Raiders and you break it down. They got one, you know, they got a quarterback who's basically a rookie who's going to come in and get his first real snaps, and they got a bunch of guys that cannot be effective without the football. There's one football. Javon Walker wants the football. Darren McFadden's going to want the football. Justin Fargus wants the football. It's just going to be interesting. And they got a 33-year-old head coach who I like. I like Lane Kiffin. I think he's going to be a masterful offensive mind in this league. And I said, though, I say this honestly, I'll say it with any Raider fan, I feel a lot better about playing the Raiders in Oakland week one than I would week 12. I said that, and I believe it. And what I mean by not necessarily selfish, but, I mean, guy wants football. And Javon Walker, yeah, he is selfish. I mean, Javon thinks about Javon and nothing but Javon. I mean, that's been proven before he was a Bronco, while he was a Bronco. And that's why I asked Jack Williams specifically about character. And I think it was Stig that brought it up, and it was something I wanted to touch on. But, you know, this is the direction the Broncos are going. They are getting away from the me first guys. And I said this indirectly over and over again on this show. The problem with the Broncos, and I used it to talk about the defense specifically, but the problem with the Broncos has been they haven't had these guys that know what it is to be Denver Broncos. And I went down through history and named all these guys, starting with the Floyd Littles. I'm going right down the line, and I specifically talk defense. You know, starting with the Randy Gradishars and going on down to, you know, Carl Mecklenburg and Dwight Smith and, you know, Tyrone Braxton and Simon Fletcher, you know, down the history to Steve Atwater and, you know, all the way down. Guys that knew what it was to be a Denver Bronco. You know, guys that bled orange and blue. Guys that hated the Raiders. Guys that hated the Chargers. Guys that hated the Chiefs. And the Broncos, and this is the problem. This is the problem with focusing on free agents. This is the reason. And this is why I completely disagreed with Mike Kliss. Is that his name, Mike? Is why I totally disagreed with what he said about the draft, and it's really you build your team one-third. One-third through the draft, one-third through free agency, one-third through trades. That is completely ridiculous and wrong. You need, if you're not building your team 30 to 40% through the draft, and now somebody will say, well, 33% is one-third. Yeah, but it's weighted. That 33% is a lot more important than the other 25% you may build, because you know who those guys are? You know who those guys are? It's your quarterback. It's your stud corner or your stud linebacker or your stud receiver or your running back. It's the guys you build your football team around. The free agents you bring in fill pieces. But the core, and I linked to an article I wrote last November about how the Broncos were built and looking at the drafts from 2000 to 2004. And what I have said all along, I was proven right. And go look in the comments of Horse Tracks today, and you will see my link to that. And if you haven't read it, some of you are new since then, read it. And it compares us to the Colts, Patriots, Chargers, and Steelers. And not, don't look at the numbers per se, which were quite a bit lower. And this is going back to November. Some of those stats aren't right now. They're not correct. What Kliss said specifically was, he said, well, the draft's important. Look at 2004. We have one guy left, yet we made it to the AFC Championship game in 05. That is the most ridiculous, uneducated, football stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. You can't, a draft of 04 does not affect the season in 05, unless you happen to pick number one, and it that's not the way it works. And that's, to me, it was a ridiculous statement by Michael, and I proved it. I mean, all he had to do was a little research. I proved it. But go look at that article and see, look at the numbers. The Broncos at the time, I think had 13% of their draft picks from 2000 to 2004 were still on the team, which is just an abysmal number. I think it was 3 of 44. The other teams, and just because I need to know, and I'm talking about it right now, I'm bringing it up. So, and I list all the draft picks and what round and all that. But specifically, at the time, it was 6 of 44 for the Broncos, because I gave them credit for Champ Bailey and Dre Bly. Guys, Zappa out. Later, boss. Are you guys still out there? What happened? Because I was told Punishment Radio was not being heard tonight. Oh, well, I guess I got booted, I guess. Well, Anyway. Hey, you guys still out there? I don't know what happened, but okay. So someone says I'm still there. It sounds like everybody got cut out. But you know, I'll end the show then on that point. And I thank Jack Williams for joining me. I thank you guys for all joining me. All you on the podcast, I appreciate it. We'll pick it up next week, 10 p.m. Eastern. Or 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, for MHR Radio here on U Broadcast. Join me tomorrow, The Sports Grind, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We'll talk about everything in the world of sports. Until then, we'll talk to you later, everybody. Have a good night.
You keep up with the blogs and everything Orange and Blue at our website, www.milehighreport.com, or hit up the show, milehighreport@gmail.com. Thanks for checking out MHR Radio Live on TPS Radio. We'll be back next week, 9 p.m. Eastern, with Broncos Talk for your ass.